You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans in chapter 5 for a moment. And in our little sequence of things in Sunday school, we have considered the Spirit of God's ministry. And the Spirit of God's unique ministry is to convict people, among other things, of sin. And then we wondered and asked ourselves, why are so few people saved? Why aren't people saved? And then we have sought to answer that. And we looked at sin for a little bit. And sin, the awesomeness and the awfulness of sin, is very difficult to lay hold of because we don't want to do it. So, and thus sin, and then sins, and Christ died for the sins of the world so that we would not have to deal with them. But we have to deal with the sin of unbelief, and that condemns us or converts us, one or the other. Now, so having said that, taking the hamartia, which is sin, and then you have the theological categories, hamartology, the study of sin, which is what we've been doing. So, in the light of that, let's try to go and put that a little better in order, maybe. So, in chapter 5, before I even do that, now, the problem with sin. What is sin? And all over the place, what sin is, isn't, and everything else. And we do that. But in order to single out and lay hold of it, the sin, whatever you want to call it, makes death. Now, in the light of that, what is it about humans that we don't sense death? Because we're all born in the same way. Now, all of you were born with two eyes. True. Do you find it odd when you look at each other to see two eyes? No. If you were coming into a society and you had one eye, would you notice that? I have one eye in front. I'm different. But when we all come into the world dead in sins, we're all equal. So when we look at each other, we don't have any problem because we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all dead in sins. We don't recognize, we don't know how to label it, but that's what we are. That's how we come into the world. Now, so you need to understand that, I think. It helps. And the more you don't understand, it is latent. It sits inside of you. And all the realities of life that you, most people, don't even want to think about are here. And we know they're here, but we are subconscious. We are unconscious of such things. We don't want to be conscious of them. And they're there. As long as they're there, and they are there, and I don't understand them, and I don't know how to deal with them, they are capturing me without even me knowing it. And therefore, you have all of the phobias, the fears that exist all around and about us and within us. The more I understand something, the less it will be a problem to me. And the more I understand it, I will be able to handle it, its real existence. I don't have to run away from it. I don't have to make it disappear. I just need to understand it. Now, therefore, sin. Romans chapter 5, you know that I'm running it by you step by step. We're going to step across the ocean on the blocks so we don't get too wet. Now, Romans chapter 5, picking up if I can in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, sin, problem, is in the world, and it is the cause of death." Now, again, what we started with, sin, you say, what's the awfulness of sin? That's why people die. Now, is there a question about the people dying? No, everyone who has ever lived, apart from our Lord, and Enoch, and people like that, apart from that, they all die. So we have no problem with death. We mentioned that in Jewish theology last time together. So you understand why they don't have a they don't go with Adam and Eve falling and all of that. They don't want to have to deal with that, and they don't doctrinally, etc. Neither do many Roman Catholics. They don't believe Adam and Eve were even real. Not even real people. That's the only way we get out. What are we going to do? If Adam and Eve are real, then we got a problem. Because that tells where our origin is, and our origin is faulty. And we die in our sins. So now, having said that, if death is so universal and unavoidable, the cause, we don't want to talk about, that's back to Judaism again. We don't want to talk about sin, see? The consequences of Adam's fall, whatever it was, is death, and we drop it. We don't want to ask why. Because of sin. Sin, the wages of, Romans chapter 6. You know these things. The more you understand, the better you will be. The less you understand, the more you can say, oh, I don't care. You may not care. And people may not care, but you got it down in your gut. And it has to be answered, or it's going to haunt you for all the days of your life till you answer it. So now, Romans 6:23, you know, "For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So now we've got the understanding a little bit of sin. And the reason, again, we don't want to even deal with sin too much is because of its death. We got that part. We can push death aside because we haven't died yet. We haven't died yet. At any minute, we could die. True? Any minute. And they'll never get you to the super hot place in time anyway. So you're dead any moment. So we have that. We don't want to think about that. And the words that all come together about our thinking, we mentioned that. The awesomeness of being alive in its reality is very, very difficult for us, because if we face reality as it really is, then we're sinners and we're dead in sin and we're going to die forever, be separated from God. So now, over if you would please to Galatians, which is closer, Mark or 7? Oh well, Galatians. And my Bible open to it, why not? Galatians and chapter 5. You know, all we're doing is now putting it in front to understand the problem. I need to understand how it works and why it works. Otherwise, I'm sort of stupid about the whole thing, and I enjoy my stupidity because I don't have to understand it. And if I don't understand it, then I don't have to deal with it. Galatians chapter 5, picking up in verse 19. "For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, etc., idolatry, witchcraft, And you go down the little list, verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the word, that's all out nature. And you know from Mark chapter 7, and you read that whole thing, all of these things, well, look at it just for a moment to note a point. Mark chapter 7. What is the problem with sin? As Mark is going to help us. And in Mark chapter 7, the Lord is going to say it the way we don't want to hear it. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? What do we like to think about sin? It's out here, like the mumps and the measles. And we don't want it. But it isn't out here. It isn't out here. And God, you're going to tell us, you label, we don't want to hear it, God. It isn't out here. The world, the bad people and evil things. And we're there. That's what we like to think. And we can just set our life and our pattern and our eating, what we eat and what we watch and what we see and who we talk to, that we're all right. And we just can get affected by the bad guy coming in or doing something. And we like that. But that isn't the issue. And we don't want to hear that. We don't want to think that. We don't want to think otherwise. It isn't outside. It's inside. It's inside you. No one's going to make you sin. You are a sinner. You're dead in sins. Do you understand? There's just no way to come out of this. We don't want to think like that. Now, and thus, because, verse 19, it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, excretes it, purging all meats of foods. And he said unto them, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, out from the inside out, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man. That's what we don't want to think about. And people don't want to think about it. Because it's an internal problem. And it has nothing to do with anybody. It has to do all by your lonesome yourself. And that's unacceptable. That's why, you think of back to Judaism that we shared last time, that's why we don't want to look at Adam's sin. We disregard that totally. We recognize death came from somewhere out there, and Adam gave us death, but it's not sin. And sin is something you have the right. If you want to be a good guy, you can. But if you don't, you're going to be a bad guy and you end up a sinner. So it's up to you. Everyone can be good. But if they choose not to be good, they're bad. They got a problem. And that's Judaism. It leaves us free to pick and choose. And then we modify everything. How good is good? When is good good enough, right? How good do you need to be saved? How good? And then you sit down and try to figure out how good, and everything's relative. And everything, we're all good, but there are people that are gooder than us, true? Not you guys, of course, you got it. And there are people that are better than us. And we look at the badder people and consider us a gooder people. So we aren't as bad as the bad people, so we're all right. Now, Now, I hope you're getting a flavor of it. You need to understand it. And failure to understand it is just, it's why the world is, why people don't come to God and get life. Now, having said that, then you want to ask yourself, why on earth, in the light of that, why is the people not being saved? Why aren't they being saved? Etc. Now, in order to answer that, why don't people want, we already did this, but we're going to add to it now. And in the light of that, the terribleness of sin, death, but we don't even want to consider that, and people don't. And if we don't consider death, we don't consider sin. Now, and therefore, so now, God, we're asking God to help us in the light of the problem. Why is it missing? Now, you'll remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and they lived 900 years, etc., and all of that, and they lived. And sin hasn't even, the little plant came into existence, and here's Adam, and here's the little plant, and the little plant has caused his death, which he had to believe on the Lord, and he did, Genesis 3:15, etc. Now, that seed just grew and grew and grew and grew. And it grew till you had Genesis chapter 6. And after all these years, all developing, all staying around Cain's city, etc., and all the same mood, manner, thinking, and they did evil, Genesis 6 and 5 and all of that. They did evil continually. And they got worse and worser. And worser. True. Hang on. Now, I'm trying to figure out when does the problem of sin, when do we control it? When does humanity squash sin down and put it in their pocket? Now, so Genesis 11, after the Genesis flood, they come out, Noah and his sons, and all of that. And apart from the remnant that is saved, Noah walked with God, and then there's Seth and all of those different things. And they come along, and so you have humanity. But humanity, are we getting better? No, it's all going downhill. So when we come to Genesis 11, we're having they bring in religion and politics, which they didn't have. So now we have religion and politics, a tower and a city. And in the tower and the city with the politics, as we go down the corridor here, we find that the people did evil. And we shared all that together, Genesis 11. And God said, if I don't go down and judge them, I'm not going to flood them, I'm not going to remove them. I'm going to go and give them a little space by dividing it up, because in oneness, they are one like this. But if I make all their languages and everything else different like that, they can't communicate, and they all separate and for many reasons all over the place. And they break up. But the reason, if I did not do that, said God, can you imagine how evil it would be if I didn't do that? If I didn't slow it down, can you imagine how bad it would be? Think of Genesis 6 and then amplify it. Now, when is it getting better? It isn't getting better. And out of it, out of all of those thousands of people then, we find an Abraham. We don't find a whole society. We find a man. We have a Job over here, that's true. But we aren't talking about Melchizedek. We don't have a lot of people. We don't have a lot of people. No, it's going down, down. So the sin's power, and it's engulfing us, is moving. So therefore, you come to what? The tribulation, after grace is undergoing the tribulation, which is the outward expression. How does God manifest sin? By the Antichrist. He personifies sin. The Antichrist puts sin and gives it a form and a body. The Antichrist. The fulfillment, the fullness of what sin is. The Antichrist. Wow. Now, so therefore, when we look at that, we want to understand that the moral and ethical standards of people is there in different forms and ways, and history has gone down. And in the Middle Ages, I forget, it's so long ago, I think it was if you lived to 40 years old or so, you were an old man. Now we have, why do we have? We've improved since the Middle Ages. Well, there's no question. We have better washing machines, and we have better pills. We have lots of things. But the reason we're living long isn't because of our mind and heart. No, we're living long because the environment in which we live caters to our physical being. And we have all of the benefits that we never had. They never had all these problems. They never had an opiate, whatever you call that thing, problem out there. They never had those things. They never had cholesterol. Remember that? Do you remember the last time Abraham was concerned about his cholesterol? His triglycerides. Abraham said to his wife, Sarah, listen, I sure hope it's a vegetarian, pure, organic diet. No, you didn't have any of that. You didn't need it, actually. So we have it. We're dying. The reason we live is because of all the gimmicks we have. Take them away and see where you'll be. No, we got them. They're in your food. They're in everything. And there are all kinds of ways that trying to put up your protein and your nutrients and your longevity and everything. Now, having said that little bit, so our moral and ethical standards are struggle all the time. Every society, Rome had its struggling, Roman Empire and the Greek Empire, and all of them have their struggles with morals and ethics and right and wrong, etc., which we're going to look at because we're looking to give when is a person accountable to God? But to answer that, I got to understand the other part a little bit. So now, if you would, in the light of the morals and the standard, and we have things are relative, and it means that they are relative, meaning they don't have a meaningful relationship. They don't have that. It's only a relationship, I should say. In other words, if you're going to say something's relative, cold is relative. Cold. By that I mean, when it was 50-something out, I bet you could go when you were out, when it was 50, and say, boy, it's like summer. And you probably took your jacket off and felt good, right? 50 degrees or something. See. But if we went in July and said it was 50, would you say it's super warm? No, it's cold. Cold is relative to a person's relationship. The word sin is relative. Whatever you think sin is or don't. So what is right to you is right to you. What is wrong to you is wrong to you. Everything is relative, which is where we are. Now, so having said that, keep in mind, if you would, let me just run by you that which will help, I think. Over, if you would please, to Isaiah. And I'm doing that. I know you know all these things more than I do, even. Chapter 5, Isaiah. Chapter 5 in Isaiah. And I just want to run by you, if I can. And I'm just getting help. Things are relative. How does the world handle right and wrong, morals, ethics, rightness? How does the world handle it? How have they handled it? How do they handle it? To justify, to give them some out. Now, so here, remember, just put this all together in a package, if you would. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Turn it all upside down, and the light is now darkness, and we're children, we love darkness. So if I call darkness light, I'm quite comfortable, and I'm going to call light darkness. God's word and sin and I turn it upside down, and I'm able to get away with that. Because everyone, and we do it. Our own society has done, think of all the years and all the different things that we've legislated, marriage and everything, sex and all of it. We keep legislating it, so it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And remember, you don't need all that stuff again. But they had it back in the Roman Catholic, remember they had the big to-do a few years ago on that, and made a big thing. But and then even then, we knew that before, and we said it before, and then it isn't an issue because it isn't a problem. You can have sex and whatever you want, dogs, cats, whatever, and that's where it's going to go, because it doesn't make any difference, does it? We're going to tolerate it. That's the only way we do it. We turn upside down. And then we do it. We've done that with all kinds of things that used to be called bad. They aren't bad anymore. They're normal. And when you call them normal, you're free. Now, so chapter 22. It goes a step further for us. I think it's 22. Chapter 22, picking up in the judgment to come. And Israel, remember, and Jerusalem, going to have judgment. And we're looking at it in Jeremiah and all of that. Chapter 22 of Isaiah, sliding, if I can, to verse 12. In that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping, to mourning, and to baldness, to the girding with sackcloth. In other words, you ought to repent. You ought to change your ways. Change. Don't be jumping around. It isn't a time to have a party. Wrong time. In the house of mourning, much, much more is to be learned. Now, on the contrary, were they repenting? No. Verse 13. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying of oxen, killing sheep, eating flesh, drinking wine, let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we shall die. Are we going to fix it? No, we just don't care. Ah, but when it comes to dying, you do. But we don't think about dying that much. It's sort of a maybe someday, maybe. And we'll look at it then. Now, and we have religion as a backup. That's the whole point of being religious. You got to have something you can point to, whatever background, whatever philosophy you want about the future, and point to it. And it saves you thinking about God and death and all of that. Now, so again, doing it a little differently, sliding over to Malachi, last book, as you know, and just reminding us how God ends the Old Testament. And what were they thinking when they ended? Remember, they go all the way to John the Baptist, all that big space until our Lord comes. Malachi chapter 2 and in verse 17, the mood, attitude. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good, in the sight of the Lord. God is delighted when you do evil. We call evil good and good evil. God is very happy with it. And in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. And God is happy with people that do bad things. And in the dark, they call it good. And, or if we can't handle that, then we're going to say, where is the God of judgment? God isn't going to judge it anyway. We'll call it what we want. And then he isn't going to judge it anyway. So let us think and say and philosophize and be religious up to our eyeballs. God is never going to do anything. Now, so chapter 3. And chapter 3 and in verse 15. I'll start with verse 13. Your words have been stout, strong against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? They're saying, well, God, where do we go wrong? What are we saying? You have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? It doesn't pay to honor you, God, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. We haven't, God, there's no problem. No problem at all. And, verse 15, because we're discounting, calling evil good, good evil, light, darkness, light, bitter, sweet, bitter. We're going to turn it all upside down, God. So what's wrong with that? Verse 15. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. God, you honor the whole ball of wax. It'd be like going back to Genesis 6, and God, you applaud and approve the whole course of history as men did evil continually. Now, so that's A. You want to ask a reason, why is there such an absence of sin and being saved? Well, that's A, reason, A. And B, because of lawlessness. Lawlessness. People do not want law. They don't want to honor the law. And we did that a minute ago, following history down. People aren't going to be lawless. They aren't interested in law and rightness. They're interested in wrongness because they can't in and of themselves, because of their old nature, inside of them, they can't do right. So no matter how much right is out here, it isn't in here. So how am I going to get right inside of me so that I can be right? Well, I can't without looking to God and his saving grace. And therefore, I'm not going to do that. So therefore, I'm going to turn the whole thing around so I can live with this. Now, having said that, so over, if you would, to Psalm 10. You aren't far away in one sense. Psalm 10. And you will notice, I'm just taking a sample of all kinds of places. To God, you say it over and over. That's why the Bible is unique. It tells you what you really need to know and what we really are and what needs to be done. There's no other book in all the world like it. Thus, chapter 10. Picking up, if I can, you'll get the flavor of it quickly. Verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And verse 6, he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. For I shall never be in adversity. No, nothing's ever going to go wrong. Things will only get better. And if I just do the right thing and everything, it'll come out good. Verse 11. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. God, here's the cry of the people trying to overcome the odds that are against them in the evil that is against them. Verse 13. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? and God. He has said in his heart, thou will not require it. In other words, God isn't going to take anything into account, like in Malachi. There is no judgment. God isn't going to do anything. God isn't, and remember, think of Ecclesiastes. If a man live 100 years and say, wait, look how old he got. Don't consider that. Whether he lived 100 days or 100 years, eternity is a long time. So don't get confused. 100 years of your life compared to forever. 100 years is nothing. So don't get so, well, boy, look how old he got. Better to be 10 years old and die in Christ than 1,000 years old without Christ at any stretch of the imagination. Wow. To be the president and king and be a pauper. The pauper who saved is way ahead of the king and all of his power. So don't envy. God says, don't get caught up. Well, look at what that's what Psalm 10 is about. Psalm 71. You look out there. Psalm 73. You look out there. Wow. Look at the benefits. Look at all they get. Look at the fun they have. Eat, drink, and be merry. But you got to finish it. Tomorrow we die. They don't want to do that. Now, so having said that little bit, so blindness, we don't want to look at the environment. We don't want to see it in a healthy sense at all. We don't want to see the things as they really are. Thank God for that they aren't worse, and that's what we should be. But we don't want to see them as they really are because there's no hope. We keep hoping society will get better. Well, it isn't going to get better. It just isn't going to happen. Historically, biblically, it isn't going to happen. So therefore, we breathe. We breathe the atmosphere of the world system. We breathe it, we absorb it, its concepts, its feelings, its fears, its faults. We breathe it, we're in it. Everywhere we go, unless we're on an island in the middle of nowhere and we're all by our lonesome, we're breathing it. It's built in everywhere, all around us. So we need to see that and understand that. Now, and having said that little bit, God is not mentioned, just for the sake of thinking about it. Our Declaration of Independence and Constitution is very much involved about God, very much so. In fact, Declaration, God created you, not evolution, and you're not an accident. And you're not, mom and dad didn't do it, God did it. You're God's creation, which is very needful. Failure to get that makes it very hard for us. We're missing the point. Now, so God, in the Declaration of Human Rights, the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, quoting, man and man alone answers to man. Mankind, people, go no higher. I'm adding to that. Are no higher than they're human. They can't be any more than that. You can't go higher than you are. No matter how you do it, you can't get higher than you are. So, man is answerable to man. There's no mention of God. God is our declaration all about God. The United Nations human rights thing isn't. Now, and there is little sense of the future. And hang on to that. Little sense of the future. In the light of heaven and hell. Now, you have to understand, we don't hear about that anymore. You very rarely hear about heaven, and you very, very, very rarely hear about hell. Except people say the expression, go there, but apart from that. Now, so therefore, interesting for, if you like, in the Oxford Dictionary of England, I have that, in 1870 to 1914, in that volume, noting why the world in the 19th century acknowledged that the British merchants was the most honorable merchant in the world. The dictionary writing an answer. Why is the British merchant in the 19th century? Why are they the most honorable men in the world? Merchantmen. Want the answer? You do. It was because he had a sense of heaven and hell and judgment to come. They were conscious of heaven and hell and judgment. And that's what made them the most honored men in the world in the 19th century. Now, think of people you know, go to school, work with. To what measure do they have a sense of heaven and hell and accountability and judgment that you know? Anyway, I hope that helps you. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. I think it is. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. Now, God is going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment in not believing on the Lord. They don't want to. And God took care of the sin, but we don't want to have to think there was anything to be taken care of. So now, when you think, looking at what we just tried to look at for a little bit, now consider, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the great truths that are going to follow, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And the stupidity, that's what the Jews didn't want. No one wants to think about sin. They don't want to think about the problems inside. They don't want to do that. It's not comfortable. And I don't blame him. I don't blame anybody. I understand it. And if you leave God out, you got a problem. And that's why we mentioned last time, if you really, 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 also Chambers, we mentioned it, if you really, 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 really want to see it, apart from God, the human heart is terrible. And that's why men commit suicide. If you really see it. But we don't see it. We don't see it. Nope, we aren't going to do that. We don't want to see the real, real, really awesomeness of being lost. We don't want to think about being lost. Now, having said that little bit, so preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And while you're thinking of it, in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Aha! Unto the Greeks, the Gentiles, it's foolishness. Foolishness. All foolishness. Chapter 2, sliding over. As you know, verse 14, 2 and 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. They don't want to know. And if you don't want to know, you won't know. Simple as that. If you don't want to understand something, guess what? You won't. Don't want to understand it? You won't do it. It won't happen. Won't happen. You have to want to understand it. And you want to know it better. Know it the better. The more you know something, the more you can handle it. Otherwise, it handles you. So you want to exercise all of that in a way. Now, having said that little bit, therefore, as we commence looking at accountability and how that works. Now, just to start you off a little bit, remember now, in the process of everything that we do and don't do, and all that we have the rebellion of the human heart, a human heart becomes religious and philosophical, and religious and philosophical is a way, as we mentioned earlier, to be able to satisfy, avoid the void without God, leaving God out of the heart. I got to put something in there, gods, religion, idolatry. I got to put that in here somehow to cover my bases. And we do that. And we have our religion and religiousness and all of those systems. And rebellion. We have all our Mormons competing with Jehovah's Witnesses and all of that stuff. But apart from that, we don't mind anything about our religious system. Our religious system, whatever it is, gets disturbed when you go, using back to Adam, if you take away my fig leaves and don't give me a coat of skin, you don't take away my fig leaves. What's covering me, keeping me from sin, facing it, my religious system, keeps me protected. And when you mess with my fig leaves, you mess with my religion, you're going to find rebellion. And you're going to find attack, because you threaten me, and you threaten. And in the process, I don't want to have to say God this or God that or God bless. I will use those words in my religious system, but don't mess with it beyond that. Pray for us, but don't mess with me about what that means to me or doesn't mean. Let it go with that. And everyone will think what they want. Anyway, you got the idea? Interesting at all, I think. Hope it helps. Thank you.